There are a lot of folks trying to get rid of the blood from the church. They don't like the message of the blood. I'm going to tell you, we would not be alive if it were not for the blood. Amen? The blood of Christ Jesus made the difference in an old cross of torture to become something beautiful. Amen? Amen. I want to share with you today another message of the resurrection. We've read about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share with you about the raising of a life even before this time. In John chapter 11, if you would, you can turn with me there if you have your Bible. Most of the scriptures will be on the screen, but if you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 11. And I want to kind of fall back to chapter 10 and tell you a little bit of a story that happened with Christ Jesus. He was teaching and preaching with the disciples in the Jerusalem area. And as he taught and as he preached and as he told them the truth, he made them so mad. He made those religious leaders so mad they wanted to stone Jesus. And so Jesus decided he was going to let the area cool down a little bit. And he took his disciples and he left Judea and went down to across the Jordan River. That's about a day and a half to 2 days walk. So they went a good ways away from Jerusalem. And after he got there, the scripture says that a certain man fell ill. And this man was Lazarus of Bethany, which is just about a mile and a half from Jerusalem. And he was a good friend of Jesus. So he had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Mary and Martha were worried about their brother, so they sent a message to Jesus, and it took a messenger a day and a half, 2 days to get to where Jesus was beyond the Jordan River. And they sent a message to him, and they said this. They said, "Lord, the one whom you love is sick." So Jesus knew that Lazarus was very ill, and the disciples, I guess, began to talk, and they said, "Well, maybe we should go." And Jesus told the disciples, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." So he stayed there a couple days longer. And after two more days of staying there, Jesus stopped and told his disciples, he said, "Lazarus is asleep. I'm going to go and wake him up." And the disciples were a little confused. They said, "Well, Lord, if he's sleeping, he must be getting better. You know, sleep helps the soul. Sleep helps the body to recuperate." So they said, "Lord, if he's sleeping, he's going to get well." And it says that Jesus had to tell them plainly, "Lazarus has died." Well, they began the 2-day journey back to Bethany. And as they arrived there, people began to join them and find them, and they found out that Lazarus had been dead not for one, not for two, not for three, but for 4 days. And he had been buried in a tomb. Word came that Jesus was coming, and Mary and Martha in their home heard that Jesus was on his way and had arrived in the vicinity. Mary stayed home, the scripture says, but Martha, she ran out the door and she went immediately to meet Jesus. And as she came to Jesus, she came to him. And the first thing that Martha said was not, "Hello, Lord," or "I'm so glad to see you," or "I'm glad you've arrived safely." The first thing she said was, "Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Folks, have you ever been in a quandary like that? You know, life is certainly filled with a lot of difficulties, a lot of what ifs, a lot of could have beens, a lot of regrets. And we can't always be in the right place at the right time. Have you ever had that happen to you? Just circumstances wouldn't allow you to be where you needed to be. You can imagine the feelings that were welling up inside of Mary and inside of Martha when they had lost their sisters. These sisters knew. They knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that if Jesus had been there, had he come in time before their brother had died, that he would not have died. He would have lived. And friends, we read in the scriptures that Jesus could have been there, but he chose not to. In verse 5 of chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, the scripture says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days. Now, wait a minute. Did you hear that? He says that he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. So when he heard he was sick, he did what? He stayed 2 more days. Does that sound like love to you? Does that sound like Jesus cared? He loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. So when he heard he was sick, he just stayed 2 more days. Does that sound like he cared? Folks, have you ever felt like that? That when you took a need to Jesus, that it was taking forever for him to answer? That you wondered, is God hearing my prayers? The result of his delay, the result of the Savior staying for 2 more days, was a bitter loss for these sisters. And it was a deep suffering for Jesus Christ. The scripture says he loved all three of them, and yet he tarried. Why did Jesus wait? Why did Jesus wait 2 more days after hearing of Lazarus's illness? Why didn't he go immediately to his friend? Why didn't he just speak the words right where he was that would have healed Lazarus from afar? We knew Jesus was able to do that. He had done it before. Was Jesus ignoring the problem? Was he not hearing their call? Was he not hearing their prayers? Was he not hearing their requests? Or maybe he just didn't care. Is that what it was? The answer is found in verse 4, friends. If you've got your Bible open, look with me. John chapter 11, verse 4, it says, when Jesus first heard that Lazarus was ill, he said this, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified through it. Now, wait a minute. I thought we said that Lazarus died. Oh, we're going to come to that. But this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. You see, Jesus knew. Jesus Christ knew what God was going to do before Lazarus ever died. He knew that he was going to pass from this earthly life. And Lazarus died. But dear friend, listen. Though Lazarus died, that wasn't to be the ultimate result of his death. There was much more that was going on. Yes, he died physically. But that wasn't going to be the outcome of this. It was only the temporary result. God had a deeper plan that included great love. Great love for Martha and for Mary and for Lazarus and for all those who would hear this story many thousands of years later. He had a great love for them and he had a plan. In spite of their temporary pain, God was going to be glorified through this. And his followers that were now struggling with the loss of a loved one, going through a hard time, they were going to be strengthened. They were going to be lifted up. Folks, isn't it often that way with you? Isn't it often that way with me? We feel like God is not hearing us. We pray and we pray and we pray and we say, God, why aren't you hearing? God, why aren't you responding? We feel like our prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling and coming right down. Anybody ever felt that way? I have. I have with you. But that's not the end of this story. Let's pick up where I left off just a few moments ago and let's read John chapter 11. Verses 21 through 24. Would you read with me? Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now folks, I think this is one of the first references that we ever hear of the resurrection. And Martha said, and Martha knew that there was going to be a resurrection in the last day. She knew her theology. And she said, I know he's going to rise again in the last day, but I want you to notice Jesus' response. When Martha said, Lord, I know he's going to be raised in the last day, look what Jesus said. Verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus looked right at Martha and he said, do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. Do you believe? Jesus said, I am. He didn't say, I'm about the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is not just about the resurrection. Jesus is not just for the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection. He is about the raising of life. Without him, there would be no resurrection. Without Christ Jesus, without the power of God, there is no resurrection. If Jesus had never come to this earth, if Jesus had never lived that life that he lived perfectly without sin, if Jesus had not died on an ugly, cruel cross of crucifixion, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, if he had never promised life to you and to me because we believe in him and to all those who believe in him, what right would anyone have to expect that they too would be resurrected? If it wasn't for the resurrection of Christ, we would have no hope of eternal life. What hope could we give to those who'd lost a loved one? We've all lost loved ones. You've lost loved ones. I've lost loved ones. What hope would we have of ever seeing them again? We would have to say with the rest of the world who doesn't know Christ, we would have to give them the answers that they give one another. And that is, well, at least you had your memories of them. Well, be thankful for the time that you had with them. Let me ask you, does that help you? Doesn't help me. I guess I should be thankful, but I'm hurting in my loss. Thank the Lord God above that when we as believers lose one who is a believer, we get to say with Paul as he told the church at Thessalonica chapter 4, he says, we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. That's God's word. That is God's promise. Jesus called physical death sleep. Throughout the New Testament, he called physical death sleep. Do you recall? Even as we were reading in John chapter 11, Jesus told his disciples, he said, Lazarus is asleep, and I'm going to go wake him up. And they thought he was just taking a nap. Jesus talked about his death. He made that plain. He said, Lazarus has died. Jesus called physical death on this earth sleep. Why? Why did Jesus call physical death on this earth sleep? Because believers, dear friend, don't die. They depart. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 tells us that they don't die. They depart. God's word tells us that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That is God's promise. Not only do they depart, but folks, even more important than that, they arrive. When somebody dies here, you know what we say. Listen, it's a sad time for us. I'm not playing that down. I don't want you to feel that I'm being callous. When someone dies, we hurt. We feel the loss. And when someone dies here, we may come out to the room and we may come out to our family and our friends and say, they're gone. They're gone. Oh, I'm going to tell you why we're down here saying they're gone. For every believer that's gone here in heaven, they all shout and say, they've arrived! Oh, they've arrived! They're here! The angels shout in glory for everyone that comes to know Jesus Christ. They're alive! Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Jesus then said, I am the life. Folks, without Christ Jesus, there would be no life. John chapter 1, verse 4 reminds us that Jesus Christ himself is the source of life. Go back to Genesis. All of God was there. All three persons. And the scripture tells us in John chapter 1, verse 4, that nothing was made without him, and without him, nothing was made. Listen, Christ Jesus made everything, including life. And folks, without him, without God, there is no life. He is the life. Jesus said, I am the life. That's why he can promise eternal life. That's why he could promise that he would return to life. That's why he could promise that the resurrection of our bodies would come to pass. Why? Because he is the resurrection. He's not about the resurrection. He's not just for the resurrection. He is the resurrection. Listen, I'm for the resurrection. How about you? I'm for life. How about you? Are you for living? Are you for life? As a matter of fact, Christ Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Listen, I'm ready for life. I'm ready for that. And I am for God's resurrection, but I am not the resurrection. I am just a believer who's going to receive it because of his promise, because I believe in him, because I trust him. He is the resurrection. He is the life. Jesus said, whoever lives in me, there's a key. Whoever lives in me and believes in me, they shall never die. Now, wait a minute. Now, what's the difference? He just said a few minutes ago that Lazarus's illness was not unto death. And now he says, if you believe in me, you shall never die. What's the difference? Folks, he's talking here about spiritual death. He's talking about separation from God. He's talking about the spiritual death, not the physical death. So let's just define spiritual death together, will you? In the Garden of Eden, you recall Genesis. In the Garden of Eden, God told Adam, he says, in the day that you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely, what? Die. You shall surely die. He said, you will die if you eat of this. What happened? Eve ate. Adam ate, and the Bible says that they died immediately. It doesn't say so, but what it says, he lived another 960 years. So did God lie? Did God say, you're going to die, and then they didn't die? No, folks, immediately he died. But he died how? Spiritually. He was immediately separated from God. That one sin, that rebellion against God, separated him against God. And every person since has sinned, and we have this separation from God. God told them immediately, leave this garden. And they had to leave that perfection that God gave them and this wonderful place that God had prepared for them. And he drove them from the garden, the scripture says, and they were separated from God. Folks, that separation is spiritual death. That's what the Bible calls the second death. To die in this body is to sleep. You will awaken somewhere else. And then you will move to your next part of life, whether it be eternal life or whether it be eternal death, separation from God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, the scripture says this. He said, before you believed in Jesus, you were dead. Before you believed in Jesus, you were what? Dead. Were you dead before you believed in Jesus? Well, you were physically alive, but you were spiritually dead. You see the difference? Spiritual death is that separation from God. And when you don't have God, you're in spiritual death. But he said, before you believed in Jesus, you were dead. But Jesus Christ has made you alive. He made you alive. So you know what that means? Jesus came to minister to dead people. If you were dead, and you were, if you were without Christ, you're dead. Jesus came to minister to dead people. How many doctors do you know today come to minister to dead people? That's only the coroner, right? That's just the funeral director. No doctors come to take care of the dead. But Jesus came to take care of the dead, those who are separated from him. Jesus came to minister to dead people. And he said, Jesus said, he didn't come to seek out the holy. He didn't come to seek out the whole, but he came to seek out the needy and the sinful. Matthew chapter 9, verse 12. He came to seek out the needy and the sinful and to give his life as a ransom for many. Folks, Jesus came to buy you back. That's why he lived a perfect life. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he rose from the dead. That's why he's coming back, because he's paid the price for you. And if, like Martha, you believe, Scripture says that when your body expires here, it's just a sleep, for you awaken unto Christ. Jesus asked her, verse 26, again, he said, do you believe this? Do you believe this? The question is still for us today. Do you believe this? The question of the resurrection, dear friend, is not, is it true? Oh, it's true. The question of the resurrection is not, is it true? The real question is, do you believe? Do you believe? Now, some people might say, well, you know, I just don't believe that. I believe Jesus was a real person. I believe that he was this. I believe he was that. But I just can't believe in that resurrection. Let me tell you something. Just because you don't believe it does not make it untrue. Just because you don't believe does not mean that God did not do what he said he would do. Let me ask you, does a lack of belief ever make anything untrue? Listen to Romans chapter 3. Verse 3, the scripture even addresses this. It says, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? God does what God does. God gives what God gives. And it's up to you to believe. A lack of belief doesn't make anything untrue. Let me ask you, before Columbus sailed to America, was the world round? What did they believe? What did most people believe before Columbus sailed? What, they thought it was flat. They thought he was going to what? Fall off the edge. There goes my investment. By far, most people believed that the earth was flat. But before Columbus sailed, the earth was still round. Let me ask you, before Galileo studied the stars, did the earth revolve around the sun? Yes. And yet, scientists were killed because they said the earth rotated around the sun and not the sun rotated around the earth because of the egocentric religion that was going on. Just because they believed it, did it make it true? No. Let me ask you, how many times must God say, I am the resurrection, I am the life? Martha, do you believe this? Yes, I believe. Put your name there. Gary, do you believe this? Yes, I believe. Do you believe? God's word says that the truth is here for you. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Believing and living in Jesus Christ removes spiritual death. There's a picture of it in this story. We're going to read about it in just a moment. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the resurrection, and without Jesus Christ, you have no hope of either one. But with Jesus Christ, you have God's promise of both life and resurrection. That's God's promise. And to show you that he had authority to give that promise, let's look at what happened following where we stopped. Lord, if you had been there, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. So Jesus looked right at Martha, and he said, Martha, where is he? And they said, they buried him, Lord. He's in the tomb. He said, show me. So Jesus walks with them. And here's this entourage. People had seen Jesus coming, and people had been watching. And this entourage had gathered around Christ Jesus as he was coming towards the house of Mary and Martha. And he stops along the way. Martha encounters him, says, if you'd have been here, you wouldn't have died. And now Jesus says, do you believe I am the resurrection? I am the life. And Jesus said, where is he? So they take him to the grave, and they show him where the tomb is. And he says, move the stone. And boy, it gets quiet. Boy, it gets quiet. Because she said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. And I love the way the King James says it. She said, he's been dead 4 days. And by now, he stinketh. Folks, this archetype, if you will, of Lazarus is a picture of us. Dead before Jesus comes. Dead before Jesus forgives. Dead before we believe. Wrapped in grave cloth of sin. Jesus says, remove the stone. And like Lazarus, our sin stinketh before God. Now let's read the rest of the story. Verse 41, it says, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Woo! Boy, there was some excitement that day. He no longer stinketh. But he comes out. Can you see that? This makes a great movie, right? He comes out. No one went in to get him. Jesus said, Lazarus, you come out, you come forth. And Lazarus comes out wrapped in grave cloth. You know, you understand what he looks like the Egyptian mummy in the movie. Even his head is wrapped up. How he sees to get out, I don't know. But he comes forth. And Jesus says, loose him. Turn him loose. Listen, folks, only Jesus has the power to call people from the grave. Only Jesus has the power to raise from the dead. And he has all the power. Oh, I love what somebody said years ago. They said, listen, had he not called on one person, he'd have emptied the graveyard. Lazarus, come forth. If he'd have just said, come forth, buddy, you'd have seen a mummy army, right? But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth wrapped in the grave clothes. Only Jesus, listen to me. This is a picture of you, and this is a picture of me. As we come to know Jesus Christ, and he says, Gary, come forth. Do you believe? And when I do, he says, you remove those grave clothes of sin that are binding you up, and you turn him loose and let him go to the world and tell the world what I have done for him. Like Adam and every person since, we are dead in our trespasses of sin, dear friends. Praise God that he sent his son to pay the penalty for our sin. Praise God that he gave his son to die on the cross. Praise God that he paid for my sin and for yours. Praise God that he rose from the dead. Praise God that Jesus came to us because we could not come to him. Lazarus couldn't come to him. Lazarus was stuck in his grave. Lazarus was stuck in the tomb. Lazarus couldn't get to Jesus if he wanted to. That's why Jesus had to come to him. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he does the same for you. And he does the same for me. Lazarus, Gary, whatever your name is, come forth. Do you believe? Praise God that he comes to us when we can't come to him. Like Lazarus, we were dead, descending deeper and deeper and deeper into a grave of sin. He loosed us from our grave clothes of sin that bind us up, and he has turned us loose to tell the world. Thank you, Jesus. Friends, Jesus is calling out your name right now, just as he did to Lazarus. Come forth. Come forth. Do you believe? And folks, that's what it takes. Do you believe? I could lead you in a prayer right now of every sinner's prayer that has ever been written on earth. I remember when I prayed to receive Christ. I remember. And I was sitting in the back seat of a 1969 orange Volkswagen. 16 years old. Oh, I had professed Jesus one time before, but I didn't understand what was going on. And in the back of that Volkswagen, on the way home from church, it was 1975, I was wearing bell-bottom corduroy pants. Silk shirt. Paisley. Platform shoes. Purple platform shoes. My mama still remembers them, don't you? It was a nightmare. But no matter how I looked, God didn't look on me. He looked on my heart, because you see, I called out to him and I prayed every prayer I knew. Listen, I knew about four or five prayers. I'd heard them all my life. And I prayed one prayer and I prayed another prayer and I prayed another prayer, because I knew that if I died without Jesus Christ, that I would be separated from him forever. And I prayed. And folks, that day, on that Sunday afternoon, in the backseat of a 1969 Volkswagen, I came to know Jesus, and I have known him ever since. God called out to me, Gary, come forth. And I said, here I am. And he loosed me, baby. Let me tell you, he loosed me. Jesus is calling out your name, just as he did Lazarus, just as he did mine. Do you believe? Then come forth. But friend, you have to choose. You have to choose. Will you stay where you are, wrapped in your clothes of sin? Will you continue to sin deeper and deeper into a grave of sin? Or will you come to Jesus? That prayer that you might pray does not save you, but your faith in him does. Your faith does. It only takes one prayer. But it also takes your faith, because God's word said, for by faith are you saved. By grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God. Folks, your prayer in faith brings you to the cross of Christ. And God looses you. Would you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your truth, that you're not just about the resurrection, that you're not just about life, but you are the resurrection and you are the life. Thank you, God, for your love for us, because we could not come to you. So you came to us and you call us out from a grave of sin. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray that there would be resurrections today of life coming to Jesus. So, Lord, would you touch hearts today?